Welcome everybody that's watching online tonight and everybody that's here in the auditorium this evening. I'm going to cut the live feed off about 6:15 for prayer time. We need to do that. We have a lot of folks that are hurting and a lot of people we need to lift up in prayer this evening. And so we're going to do that. We're in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Some of you were asking me, are you going to get through verse 1 tonight? I said it'll be about 3 weeks probably before we get through verse 1 and 2. I'm sure it will. As before we get through that, there's so much that we have to look at here. He begins in chapter 1. Before we start, let's have prayer together. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, praising you and thanking you for so great a salvation. We have little understanding of how you could reach out and save a wretch like me. Graciously, humbly, and with great thanksgiving, I come before you, thanking you for saving my soul. Many of us may seem little in the eyes of the world, but we have found ourselves precious in the eyes of God. And for that, we give you thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory, because you truly are an almighty God. We come before you tonight seeking help in our understanding, accepting, and believing, that we might receive your word by faith as the literal truth from an almighty sovereign God. Some things we don't understand too clearly, so you've got to help us. But even in those things we don't understand, we understand you. We understand that not only are you good, but you're gracious, you're merciful, you're kind, and you're loving. And without you, Father, no one would ever be saved. No one would ever get to heaven. We thank you for the gracious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that took our place on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. We rejoice in the fact that we are a new creation in Christ. Forgive us where we fail so often. I do anyway. Help me to be more like Christ and less like Jack. Help me to be the person you saved me to be and call me to be, that you might be glorified in the life I live. Father, we pray you'll help us to not only hear and not only believe, but put into practice the true word of God in our own lives, that you might see us not only precious, but that you might see us fulfilling the plan and the purpose you saved us for your glory and for your honor. Now, help us through the word. Help us to understand, accept, believe, and trust. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen. We were talking this morning as we find Peter is speaking to churches in these different provinces that he mentions here in chapter 1, verse 1. And automatically he jumps into the doctrine of election. You say, well, why in the world would he do that? Because they were being severely persecuted and he wanted to comfort them. He wanted them to understand that although they may look as fools to the world, they were precious in God's sight. He wanted them to understand that no matter what difficulties they faced in this lifetime, it was only temporary. That there was something far better, far eternal, that was reserved for them in heaven. And in doing so, he wants to do it in such a way that not only do they receive comfort, but God is glorified as a sovereign God in who he does and what he does. And that's what we're looking at as he begins, to God's elect, strangers in the world. And I marked out strangers and I put aliens. I put aliens instead of strangers because I understand my place better in this world if I recognize that I'm alien to this world in which I live. I ought to be more alien to this world in which I live. Because, as I mentioned this morning, and I find it true in my own life, the longer you're a Christian, the longer you've been saved, the more likely you are to grow inward instead of outward. We can come in here and feel very comfortable because we're with other elect. The elect are the called out ones of the Lord Jesus Christ. We feel very comfortable with each other. We joke, we laugh, we have a good time. But then we find ourselves out in a world that is absolutely in chaos to us. We look at the world around us and we say, "This, I don't fit in this world. Things are so different than I think they should be." I look at the Word of God and I see what we should be like. And then I look at the world around me and I see only chaos, and I see suffering and despair and anger and separation and all the things that Satan likes. And I ask myself, well, why is it that I don't fit in this culture, in this world in which I live? And Peter says, well, it's very simple. You're one of his called out ones. You were in the mind and the heart of God before the foundation of the world, and he's called you out of light into darkness, and when he did, he gave you the faith to believe, and now as a child of God, that he's changed your heart and changed your life, you look foolish to the world. One of the things that I see that the doctrine of election... By the way, we'll look at it tonight, and it's all the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. I don't know how anyone can study the Word and not recognize it being there, because it's from the very beginning to the very end. But in many churches, they've made the mistake of saying, well, if God has elected all those who will be saved... As Trad had a saying that he used many times, and it is a true saying, if God wills, you will be saved. If it's God's will, if God has chosen you, you will be saved. But we cannot and we must not let that hinder us from what our mission is. Our mission is to carry the gospel. Our mission is to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ and the gracious mercies of God, that we might carry the gospel to everyone, because we don't know who the elect are. We don't know who they are. So our responsibility as a believer is to go outside these walls and carry the message out, not only here, but as Brother Nate has told us, when we can't go out where they are, we hold the rope for those that do go out. And I've heard Paul Washer say that many times. So, as an alien in a culture that I don't fit, I've been called out to carry the gospel message to the people everywhere that they are. And we cannot let the truth of the doctrine of election hinder our outreach in what we do as a born-again believer and a child of God. Because we, as Brother Nate has so clearly pointed out, we have received our marching orders as the elect, as the church, as the people of God. And so that is something we always have to keep in mind. But as I said, as we grow older in our Christianity, many times we go inward instead of outward. And we feel very comfortable inward but we feel out of place outward. And yet God has called us to go out instead of in. We come in on Sunday, we gather in corporate worship, we praise God, which is a wonderful thing. We pray together, we hear the word together, but then we've got to take it from here out there because that's what God saved us for. And so I'm an alien living in a world where I don't fit in the culture of the day and the chaos that is all around me, yet I have a message that is the only source of help in the world in which I live. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He came and paid the price for our sins on the cross that we might become a child of God. Now, we also mentioned this morning, and I'm going over a few things because I don't know if all of you were here in my class this morning, but the doctrine of election rubs us the wrong way for two reasons. One is our fallenness ever since the Garden of Eden. Second is our pride that we have in the flesh. We think we ought to have a choice and a part in everything. And so my flesh doesn't like the truth that I hear from the Word of God. But it does not make it any less the truth. That's what we have to understand. I've had people ask me, well, why do you believe this? Why do you believe this? Why do you believe this? I say, well, because God said so. Because that's what the Word of God says. Our problem in our culture and our society today is they have no absolutes. They have nothing to anchor themselves to. They're drifting through a world of lostness and death and dying, rejecting the only help that they have. So it's our job to carry the help to them, to carry the gospel to them. So I go on to say in verse 1 of chapter 1, to God's elect, aliens or strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now in Asia, I believe there were 7 churches we know of, maybe one more. Colossa was in this area too, and it isn't mentioned here, but there were several churches and a large number of people that he was writing to in this area throughout, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge, and that's a word that really gives us a lot of trouble, and we'll be studying about that in particular as well, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. So this is what we're looking at, and this morning we didn't get very far. I want to go back to, because, like I said, one thing that I recognize, you know, I recognize a lot of things because I'm just like you. I'm a human being. Never forget that Brother Nate is a human being. We're not perfect. And even some things we know as truth in the Scripture rub us the wrong way sometimes. Because of our flesh, because of our pride, because of what we have in our own lives. And that's to be expected. That's to be expected. The thing that must not happen is to ignore the truth of God's Word. Is to say, well, because I don't like it, I can't accept it. Because God's Word is truth from Genesis to Revelation. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so this is our absolute. This is the truth. I don't know that there's any truth outside of God's word. Certainly not in our culture today. And so we look at that, and in Isaiah chapter 55, and in verse 8, it says, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This morning, I'm just going to briefly mention some things that we talked about this morning. In our thoughts, we look at it ourselves as a human being, and we say, we look at that doctrine of election, and we say, well, that isn't fair that God just chose some people out of all the people groups of the world to be saved. Well, that doesn't mean God is wrong. It means you're wrong. It means I'm wrong. It means our standard's wrong. Because truth be known, if God hadn't chosen people out of every people groups across the world throughout the centuries, nobody would have ever been saved. And that's what we have to understand. We talked this morning about what we really believe as a church for salvation. And we said we believe in grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. And that is the foundation of everything we believe. And so we really have to look at then, what is grace? Well, we read this morning from, quoted A.W. Pink, as saying that the doctrine of election is a doctrine of pure grace. It is a doctrine of pure grace. I realize in my own life, except for the grace of God, I'm lost for eternity. That's the only reason I'm saved. And that's the only reason you're saved. And so, the more I understand about this doctrine, it may be different for you. But the more I understand about this doctrine, the more thankful and grateful I am about salvation. And the more grateful and thankful I am about salvation, the more I want to worship. And so it all fits together. And so, in my life, that's what drives me. That's what motivates me, and that's what drives me. It's not the law of God, it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that motivates and should motivate and drive us as an individual. I've been reading a book that Brother Nate gave all of us on the staff. And one thing that I have recognized in reading that book is I have my priorities mixed up as far as myself goes. I'm a sports nut. My wife said you would sit and watch underwater basket weaving if it was competitive. Too much time in sports, not enough time in the Word. That's true. I have recognized that about myself. That I need to spend more work. I spend time studying. I have to. And I'm glad I do. But that's not the same thing as getting in the Word for yourself. And that's something I intend to take control of on a better basis. Now then, I'm going back to 1 Peter. And then we'll go from there. God says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, and your ways are not like my ways. Well, the truth of the matter is, the more we said our statement of the church is to know God and to make Him known. Well, this is why you know God, how you know God, through the Word. Most people don't have a clue who God is because God has only revealed Himself through His Word. They have a God of their own making. God is not like you would think. He is not like you would imagine. He has revealed Himself to us not only in three persons, but He's revealed Himself to us through these doctrines and the Word of God. And we find out who God really is. And we find out how sovereign God really is. As we look at that. And that ought to be a comfort to you. The only reason you can't lose your salvation is you didn't have any part in it. If you had one part in yourself being saved, you could lose what you have. But a sovereign God reached out to you in absolute darkness and drawed you into light to His Son Jesus Christ and gave you the faith to believe and the willingness to repent, and you have been born again by the work of the Holy Spirit and regenerated, and now you're being sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So we see that God has a plan for your life, and He had that plan for your life before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me comfort. That gives me comfort. My wife says I don't plan very well. I fly by the seat of my pants. But I find out that God, even when I don't recognize it, is able to use me in many ways that I don't even see until later on. Now then, I just read to you from Isaiah. Now, two things. I don't know if I mentioned this morning, but I think I did, but I'll mention them tonight. First of all, He identifies them in relation to their place on earth. He talks about Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He talks about these provinces on earth. But then He says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit of obedience and Jesus Christ, sprinkling of His blood. But then He said, you are aliens in this world. So, although I am most of you are citizens of Massac County. I'm a citizen of McCracken County. But none of us are citizens of this world. We have been adopted, born into and adopted in the family of God, and my citizenship is in heaven. I am just passing through this earth in which I live. And I really believe that, you know, I'm 79 years old. I'll be 80 in January. I really believe that when I get to heaven, my lifetime here will be like a speck of sand on the beaches of eternity. That it'll seem like, James said, like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I look back on my life now, when I was saved and when I was called and when I came to Waldo Baptist Church, and it seemed just like a flash before my mind. And the time has just gone. Well, that's how my life will seem when I am in my citizenship in heaven. And now we suffer through things. We suffer through things. But God comforts them while they were suffering persecution and suffering through things, saying, God has chose you. He has placed His love on you. And He has called you out of darkness into light and saved you by His amazing grace, and now you are a child of God. And no matter what you suffer through on this earth, it'll only be temporary compared to the glories and the rewards and the eternity of heaven itself. He tells us this to help us through, because Satan will tempt us greatly. We're in the valley. When we're suffering, He'll ask us, tell us, if you were saved, God wouldn't let this happen to you. If you were saved, then you wouldn't have to go through this. On and on and on we go. But none of us have been nailed to a cross and hung between heaven and hell to die. We haven't suffered like Jesus did. So first, He identifies them in their place on earth. Secondly, He identifies them in relationship to their citizenship in heaven. As we look at it there, 1 Peter 1:17, I believe I read that to you this morning. It says, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impatiently, live your lives as aliens or strangers here in reverent fear. So live our lives as strangers and aliens while we're here, recognizing that we're a child of God, recognizing that our citizenship in heaven. For you know that it was not with perishable things, that things such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. What does it say in verse 20? He was chosen before the creation of the world. Oh! You say, well, what do you mean Christ was chosen? I mean the plan was chosen for Christ, who already existed before the foundation of the earth by the Father. He was chosen. You are chosen. Now we're going to look back in the Old Testament to see how Israel was chosen. You see, God is a sovereign God. People have the wrong idea about God. They think God is up there wringing his hands saying, oh, I hope somebody will believe in me. I hope somebody will follow me. Oh, I hope somebody will trust me. No. God's plan, predetermined before the foundation of the earth, will be carried out. And it will be carried out according to his plan and his will and his power as a sovereign God. So that makes me feel good, because I know that it's not me. I've said this many times, but people used to ask me, well, how did Waldo Baptist Church out? This is what they'd ask me. Well, how did you grow that church out there in the middle of a cornfield? And I say, I didn't. All I did was show up. God did it. Isn't that much better? Isn't that more glorious? You see, Nate, all he has to do is show up. If he's in the will of God and the purpose of God, God will do everything. We have to do what God called each of us to do as a part of that family of the elect and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, well, let me start in, I'm going to start in verse 9 and go down through 11. But what does it say? But you are a chosen people. Now, how do you get around that? You're a chosen people. You're saved because God chose you to be saved. That's as simple as it is. I don't go over the book of Romans and go over the doctrine of total depravity. This is Jack Russell theology. I believe in the Garden of Eden, man did not lose his free will. He lost his ability to function his free will, or the ability to use his free will and choose God and to exercise his faith in repentance and coming to Christ. And so God chose people out of every tribe and people and nation to be saved. He grants them the faith. He grants them the willingness to repent. By the Spirit of God, he moves on them in conviction. He points them to Christ. He pulls them to Christ by the Holy Spirit and regenerates them. And they are born into his family by the power of the Spirit. And the only thing that we can say about that is praise God. Praise God. I go on to read in chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. A people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people. Do you understand that? Once you were not a people of God. Once you were not a people of God. But now you are the people of God. Because of what God has done in your life, you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, I implore you, what? As aliens and strangers in the world, aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. He goes on to say, live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I've said this many, many times, but my whole, from 30 years before in my life, it had no purpose. From the age before I was 30 years old, before in my life, it had no purpose. And I couldn't figure out what in the world Henry Brown and John and Bill and I and Jason and all of us were here for. Thought, are we just like a bunch of pieces to be moved on a chessboard and see how things fall out? And I studied. And I went to universities. And in one millisecond, God showed me what I was here for. And God showed me the purpose in my life. And for the first time in my life had a purpose. And it was Christ. And it was glorifying God. And I haven't done a very good job of that, I'll tell you, for what he's done for me. But it is my ambition to be better at what he saved me for and to be used until I'm granted the place of my citizenship. I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. People will look at you, now you know this, if they ask you, well, what do you believe and why do you believe it? They'll look at you and think you're a fool. You believe in a God you've never seen. You worship a Christ you've never met. And he's changed your life totally from beginning to end when you were saved. The world cannot grasp that. They think there has to be something you did. But it was not anything you did. It was all what God did. And that's what makes it so precious. And that's what makes it so wonderful. Is God set his love on you before the foundation of the world. That is a wonderful thing to know. And that should encourage us. Now I'm going on from 2 Peter chapter 11. And there's those that say, well, that doctrine of election, where else do you find it in the Bible? Well, you find it all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Back in Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. You know, again, everybody thinks God must have been up there in heaven saying, oh, I hope there will be some nation that will carry my message. No, God was up there in heaven. He'd already chosen a nation. He'd already picked them out. He'd already predetermined it. He'd already planned it. And that was the nation of Israel. And he says in chapter 7 and verse 6, for you are people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. His people, his treasured possession. And this is a picture of what, not only Israel, but this is a picture of what you are in salvation in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament is a preview of what we have in the New Testament. It is symbol and reference and picture to everything that we see in Christ and everything that we experience in salvation. And he goes on, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So why did he do it? He did it because he loved them. And that's why you're saved tonight. And that's why I'm saved tonight. Because of the love of God. And if you ever doubt the love of God, just go back to the cross. And that will renew your mind as to how much God truly loves you. All right, so we see Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. And I'm going to look in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, I believe it is. Unless I wrote it down wrong. For you are a people holy to the Lord, your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, what does it say? The Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Kate told me this afternoon, she said, she takes all our deck out back. We have a table and chairs and cushions on the chairs. Well, this time of year, she takes all the cushions out of the covers and she washes the covers and then she puts the covers back on the cushions and we put them away for the winter. See, go sit out there now, you'll get a cold rear end because there's no cushion on it, okay? She said, take them in the bedroom. Well, I grab the cushions and I head out. Where'd I wind up? In the computer room. She said, why'd you go in there? I said, I don't know. I said, I'm putting them back in the bedroom where you told me. I don't even know which room to go in, and yet I am God's treasured possession. How do you get past that? I spend half time of my life trying to find the phone where I left it. And I'm God's treasured possession. You know, isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that help you? That you're God's treasured possession? You know, we need to start living like it and acting like it. Nate was saying this morning we ought to be full of joy. If being God's treasured possession doesn't bring you joy, I don't know what does. It really does. All right, we've looked in Deuteronomy. All right, now then, Psalms 105, 43. And this is just what we's talking about. I'm going to start in 42. Psalms 105, 42. I'll give you a moment to get there, okay? If you're watching online, Psalms 105, 42. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. Nate was saying this morning, he's very composed and laid back in his personality. I guess that makes me a Christian on steroids. I've always said this. It's okay to be a nut as long as you're screwed on the right bolt, and that's Jesus Christ. So you can be a nut for Jesus as long as you do it the right way. So we should be coming in here on Sunday morning with shouts of joy because of what God has done in our lives, because he has chosen us to be his treasured possession. That's hard for me to grasp. But it's something I do know and I believe. Psalms 135. Psalms 135, verse 4. I missed it. Went right. Them pages stick together. Psalms 135, verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own. The Lord has chosen Israel. The Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own. Israel to be his treasured possession. On and on and on and on. Through Scripture, you find the same thing. God chose. God chose. God chose. And God chose you to be his treasured possession. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and part of his kingdom. So we see it over and over through Scripture. What we see is this: God's plan hadn't changed. It never has and it never will. God's plan was predetermined before the foundation of the earth. Before the foundation of the earth. I'm not getting very far, am I? Good night. Okay. Now, you don't turn here. Matthew 24, 22, 24, 31, what does it say? It says that in those days, the days of great tribulation will be cut short. No life shall have been saved, listen to this, but for sake of the elect, the chosen ones. The day shall be cut short. Luke chapter 18 verse 7 says, Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night, will he delay long over them. Romans 8:33, Who shall bring charge against God's elect? Colossians 3:12, And so those who have been elect of God, chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Those who have been elect of God, chosen of God, holy and beloved. On and on and on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says, I endure all things in my ministry for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. On and on and on. From the Old Testament through the New Testament. It seems like all it talks about is those whom God has chosen. Those who God has chosen. Those who God has elected, selected. Before the foundation of the earth. On and on, it says. Now then, there are elements that we're going to look at of election. The elements of election. And I got 2 minutes because I told him I was going to cut off the live feed at 6:15 for prayer. So I can't even start. The nature of our election. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We just read and studied that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You know, the thing about it is this. Whether our skin is white, black, red, or brown, if you're part of the elect, you're all in the same race. There is no room for prejudice. There is no room for not loving people that are different than we might happen to be. And this is what the Lord says in His Word. We're all of one chosen race, priesthood, nation, a people for God's own possession. I don't know about you. I can't wait to get to heaven and see all the other people from all the other nations and all the other places that God has saved that is going to spend eternity with. To me, that's one of the most exciting things about heaven, besides seeing Christ and the throne and all the things that go with the angels of heaven and heaven itself, is all the different people that I'll see there that have been saved, that are the grace of God, that are part of our family, our race, our nation.